Welcome everyone to another episode of Youngster Cop. Tonight we're going to be doing a special show tonight. We're going to be doing our Jurgen Klopp appreciation night. So it's all about celebrating the boss and all his achievements and our best memories of Jurgen Klopp since he's been at the club. Obviously tonight it's going to be me, Andrew and Sophie. Stephen might join us later on tonight, but he is working, so he might not make it in the end. But if he can, he will. So obviously, yeah, how's everyone doing tonight?
All right, not too bad. Can't complain.
Doing well, man. Missed the last episode, so I apologize for that, but good to be back.
Good. Everyone, I forgot to mention, everyone, make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. It helps us get the show out to more people, so helps us to bring out more content to you as well. So do smash that like button. Okay, so we are celebrating Jurgen Klopp tonight. So we'll first go off in basically, you know, Jurgen Klopp signs. It's back in 2015. What was your first thought when Klopp joined the club? Because obviously at the time, there was Ancelotti that we were linked to as well. And I think they were actually the main two top targets we had. So yeah, how did you feel when it was announced that Klopp was signing? And yeah, and what did you feel going forward? Were you excited? Did you think definitely when he first came in and said, I'm going to turn everyone doubters to believers? Did you believe it or were you doubting it? Start with you, Soph.
My first thought was, thank fuck it wasn't Ancelotti. I didn't want Ancelotti. From when the rumours were, we were linked to Jurgen Klopp, I was straight away all for him. Like, you know, I'll admit, like back in 2015, I was only just turned 20 when we were linked to this. So I wasn't really interested in what other leagues were doing. I just kind of focused on Liverpool. But from what I'd seen of Jurgen Klopp, I just really liked him. And what I'd seen him do at Dortmund as well, obviously bringing them from 13th up into champions, back-to-back champions, winning the Champions League. And I know his final season didn't end on the greatest terms. He ended up in 7th, but it was the way he played and the mentality and how he interacted with his players was just something that, above all statistics and above all tactics and whatever, like managerial possession, the quality of what was in him as a person is what stood out to me more for Liverpool. Like, what you see is what you get. And for me, he just screamed what Liverpool needed, you know, especially after Aaron Rodgers, who didn't really get the, you know, the feel of the club. He never really kind of made, you know, we talked about it in our LFC FSG West signings the other day. They were mostly all Brendan Rodgers signings. And for me, Jurgen was just the complete polar opposite of that. He was everything we wanted. And he was the only one I really looked at and was like, no, definitely want him. So I was made up when we got him.
If I go to you, Andrew, just going to read some of the comments. Good evening, Chris. Mohammed says LFC, LFC. Welcome, Mohammed. FSGL, you know, like, I'll say for tonight, your FSGL Klopp out, just give it a rest for tonight. Like,
wrong show, man. This is the wrong episode for you to be here.
Yeah, because it's all about Klopp appreciation. So, you know, while opinions are welcome, for tonight, just like, give it a rest. Ian, straight away, he understood the club as well, so important. FSGL, you're still obviously going on about the Joe Willock goal. Tonight, just focus on appreciating Klopp if you have any comments tonight. Oscar Marcus, what is there to appreciate? We're out of the top four. Look, Oscar, like, I get your frustration with the season, but, you know, like, tonight shows appreciation Klopp for what he's done for the club. So if you can't appreciate that, then maybe just, you know, tonight's not the show for you guys. So, you know, just leave out for tonight and join us back on the Saturday and the Friday when we are doing a show. Okay, Andrew, going to you, like, what was your first thought when Klopp joined and how did you feel?
Well, it's funny. That was, what, 5 years ago now? And the one thing I knew about Jurgen Klopp was his passion for the game and the passion that he brought to the team. So right away, I knew it was going to be a great fit for Liverpool. Under Brendan Rodgers, you know, we had that 1 year where we probably should have won the title. And that's, you know, probably the best year under him by far. But that was the most passionate I had seen the fans in a while. That was the most passionate I had seen the team in a while. So obviously I wanted to see more passion out of him, especially for what I've come to understand about the Liverpool, the citizens of Liverpool, that they completely agree with passion in their team. So, I mean, when I looked at Jurgen Klopp, he was a guy that took Bayern off their reign. They took that he, you know, he knocked knocked Bayern off the pedestal of the Bundesliga. He brought Borussia Dortmund all the way to the Champions League final against Bayern. And whenever I looked at, you know, some of the highlights of the games, I wasn't able to watch the games live, unfortunately, over here in the States. But whenever I would watch those games or the highlights, you would just see the passion around the Borussia Dortmund stadium. I forget what it's called, but the yellow wall. It was just like, it seemed like Klopp almost built that in his own way. And the team, the way the team played football, it was just exciting, exciting football to watch. And I mean, I don't know if you want to get to the press conference right now, but that first press conference that he did was unbelievable. It was the best thing I'd ever seen. But yeah, I mean, I was really excited to get Jurgen Klopp. And one thing that told me as much as I needed to know was just on Twitter, the amount of people that were following the private jets all around Europe. Liverpool fans were so excited. So it takes us back to a time when we were yearning for someone like him to come to the club. And, you know, what he's done since then has just been remarkable.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. Like, I think what reminded me of Dortmund was the fact that, because they also saying you never walk alone. So, you know, they very much reminded me of like Liverpool in terms of how the bond with the fans. You know, there's obviously that big match where we had Dortmund in UEFA Europa League, and then both set of fans sang you're never walk alone. So it was like, it felt like Dortmund was a replica of Liverpool. So Klopp coming over made sense. His philosophy made sense. He was a breath of fresh air for me from Rodgers, Hodgson, you know, even Dalglish, to your point, the second time come around. I didn't really buy into what Dalglish was selling us the second time around. So he was just like, he was a football man, you know, in terms of like his knowledge of the game, his passion, in terms of connection with the fans. Even in the first game where he said he felt that game where he said he felt alone because so many Liverpool fans left the stands, like he wants that unity with the fans. So, you know, I was excited, you know, and I agree with. So, while I think Ancelotti is a great manager, I didn't think he was the right manager for us in terms of building long term success for us, because I thought Ancelotti was like a short term manager. You come in, spend lots of money, wins a trophy for them, and then jogs off to another club. But Klopp was going to be there for the long haul, trying to overhaul the whole team. So I was quite excited when Klopp joined, and I felt like, you know, it doesn't matter how long it takes, he'll get us playing football the right way, and he'll get us like have an identity, which I felt we lacked, certainly under Rodgers' final year. We didn't have any identity in terms of who we were as a club, in terms of the style of play we're playing, and also the vision. So I felt Klopp united the whole club because, you know, he was...
Yeah.
That world-class manager in the helm that was kind of the buffer between the fans and FSG. So, you know, I was totally excited over Klopp and, you know, no look back since. So going to the next one, before we won a trophy, what was your favourite Klopp game before that? That you can remember.
This took me so long to pick. Like, I sat there going through games back from 2015 all the way through. And in the end, the one game I kept coming back to was January 2018, Liverpool 4, City 3. That's the game for me. Like, there were lots of games where, like, it was the turning point for us. Like, I suppose, I can't remember who we played, but we lost. And Klopp made all the players stand in front of the car. You know.
I think that was
West Brom,
yeah.
That's a pivotal game because that was like the first moment that Klopp was like, we are going to change things. But I think for me, that City game, after, you know, going up in the Champions League and really battling, and City brought everything they had to us that game. They brought everything in their arsenal to us, and we absolutely battered them. Like, we dominated that game. And I know we let, you know, two goals in, like, in quick succession at the end. But for me, that game was like the turning point of, this is us making a comeback. This is the football we're going to be playing under Jurgen Klopp. You know, now he's got the team the way he wants it. This is where he's got his signings in. People are starting to embed in the club. He made that, like you said, with him, you know, he was able to bring that link back between the fans and the club. He was able to strengthen that bond and literally make the Kop amazing again. And he really brought the City of Liverpool, like, obviously living here as well, he really changed the whole dynamic of the city. Like, it just became euphoric here, and then when that game happened, it was kind of like, oh my god, this is happening. And we played such good football as well, and especially seeing Bobby. Like, Bobby prior had always been around like Coutinho and Suarez and stuff like that, and this is the first time really seeing Bobby for me anyway, for who he was and, you know, how he is as a player, and up with Salah and with Mane, and I just thought it was electric football. And every time I see highlights of that game, I just think, oh God, I'd love to be able to watch that all over again, because it was so exciting. Like, every time a goal went in, you were just, or even an attempt, like when Salah hit the crossbar, and you just, it was so exhilarating. It was just so much fun to watch that game, and I could watch it over and over and over again.
Yeah, when we scored those three goals in like 5 minutes, that was amazing. When Salah had the 40-yard chip of Ederson, that was probably one of my favorite goals of all time that Liverpool have scored. And just the reaction of the players was unbelievable. But, I mean, the top three for me, just top four, because that's definitely up there. But top three for me, actually, I agree with what Chris Welch said here. He said Liverpool 4, Dortmund 3, Liverpool 3, Man City 0. That Champions League game against City, when I think it was Ox who had the second goal, and they're like, he can hit one. Oh, he can hit one. Like, that was my favorite. That was my absolute favorite game. Liverpool Dortmund was just so many mixed emotions, and then finally get it at the very end, literally like a minute before the game was over, was absolutely incredible. And then, I mean, we can't forget about the Barcelona game, right? The Barcelona game when we came back.
Yeah,
and
before
four trophies. That's where it got tricky.
What's that? Before what?
Before we won a trophy. Not forever. This is just basically your favorite game before we won a trophy.
Oh, okay.
That's why it was tricky.
Okay. Well, wait. Didn't we won it that year, though, right?
Well, the Barcelona game was 2 years ago.
Yeah, that wasn't that our first trophy under Klopp?
Yeah, but before the games before we won a trophy. So not that season we won a trophy. This is the season before that.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Technically, we hadn't won a trophy yet at the Barcelona game. But anyway. but yeah, so then I would go with those two. Definitely Dortmund and City 3-0 in the Champions League. That was because they were the best team in the world at that point. The fact that we absolutely smashed them 3-0, it's just – it was a statement. It was a statement.
Let's read some of the comments here. Ian Francis says that mad Norwich game. That showed what we were getting. Yeah, that was a great game.
That was amazing. We should have killed them. Like, Norwich wasn't that great. That's why it was a great football match, a great English league match, but we should have killed them.
Another one here is Natobi. He says the Norwich game has to be the game. What's up behind the stat? Evening, guys. Hope you're well. Good to have you on, mates. Chris Wells is the 4-3. Dortmund game, Liverpool 3-0, Man City. Easter morning. Good to see you, Eve. As always, to have you on. Chris Wells is going for the European games. Ian Vance, that Barca game was before. Yeah. I think for me...
was before, but we're talking like season before the season.
So what I would say for me is, I think my favourites were, before we won a trophy, the 4-1, we beat Man City at Etihad. In 2015, we played some sexy football. I remember the Emery Chong back heel to Bobby Coutinho. That was just ridiculous goal. And then also, I think my other one was the Dortmund game, because, you know, we were down and out, you know, 3-0 down. Dortmund had battered us. And then we came back and scored four goals with big old Dengsi getting that goal. Like, and the way they all jumped into the big huddle at the end, and Klopp was just mad down. Like, do this.
What's he doing behind me? Please do that again.
No, he's doing like, he's like touching the air or something. Like, that was just like outstanding, you know. So I think that was like my two favorites. Okay, what was the first moment that you knew Klopp was special? And everyone else, please do as you do and answer your moment as well. What was the first moment you felt that Klopp was really special for you?
The first presser he did at Anfield, where he just said, "I'm the normal one." And that started every meme, everything. He's got a mug now with his outline, as it's saying, "The normal one." Like, because that is the epitome of what Klopp was. He's like, as he said in the presser, "I'm a normal guy. Like, I'm not a fancy person. I am what I am. I just love football. I just want to do right by the team." And like I said, when I said before, like, Klopp was that click, that fit for Liverpool. Him coming out in his first press and just saying, I'm the normal one. And I just went, what manager have you ever seen come out in their first presser and not sit there and make ridiculous promises? I'm going to get this. I'm going to do this, blah, blah, blah. You know, like politicians, they always spiel off the best thing, don't they? And he just came out and was like, I'll make doubters into believers and I'm the normal one. And I was just kind of like, oh, I love him. I love him. Like, I knew at that point that he was going to do something special for us. Like, I knew he wasn't just going to be any other manager that would be here for a short time. He was going to be here for like longevity, and we were going to see some trophies on the clock.
Yeah, I thought definitely that that press, you know, there's two major events, I think, in the Premier League era. And that, you know, one of them was when Jose Mourinho came to the Premier League with Chelsea, and he said that he's the special one. But then, and when Jurgen Klopp came, he actually, I thought, changed the way that Premier League played for the most part. I don't think teams were pressing nearly as much as they are now. You know, Pep Guardiola had to adapt Man City to Liverpool's press, that, you know, you're starting to see them press a lot now. But his press conference, when he says that he's the normal one, and then he says from doubters to believers. And that's just something that's the bigger one for me. I mean, that's just something that we all kind of got behind, you know, the whole city kind of realized, and, you know, us in the States and all around the world realized how what the sentiment was like at Liverpool. And, you know, whenever something went wrong, you turned to doubt, you know, you became a doubter very quickly. And he just changed the mindset of the whole city, the whole fan base. So that was the big one for me. The other one, actually the other two, the West Brom game, when we tied West Brom 2-2, and we got so much shit from rival fans because Jurgen Klopp brought the team hands in hands in front of the cop, you know, applauded them, you know, we're here, you know, we're going to become better players, we're a better team. We appreciate your support. It just changed that, kind of like reinforced the mindset of doubters to believers. And we kind of kicked on from there. And the last one, I think it was that first season of Klopp that he got us to one or two finals, right? Didn't we get the Europa
League Cup and your Europa League?
Yeah, so it was those two. Yeah, so that's that first season, the amount that he achieved, I think we finished eighth, unfortunately, or 6th to 8th, something like that. But the fact that he got to 2 finals and just changed the mindset of the entire fan base was absolutely massive for me. That's when I was like, okay, he's the real deal.
Yeah. Let's see some of the comments. Ian Francis, when he said he'll win the title in 5 years, or Klopp saying after he lost
the game. Ian, that's huge. I remember that. I like that a lot.
Chris Wells said, I wasn't really impressed with celebrations of the 5-4 win versus Norwich. Okay, well done, but got the win, but we celebrated like we won the league, but we won nothing. But the game, if it was big six, I understand. But Norwich, Klopp should have brought Steven Gerrard as assistant coach. Well, I don't disagree with that, but you're entitled to your opinion. And then Chris Wells says, what's baffling? Klopp hasn't got a statue at Liverpool yet.
He won't get a statue until he retires from Liverpool. That's the way things, you know, that's the way things are done. You don't give a current manager or a current player immemorializing them statue.
Yeah.
Like immortalizing them in brass or bronze or whatever you want to do it in while they're still there. It's bad luck. You know, it's a jinx. And if you know anything about Liverpool, we are quite a superstitious club. We have, you know, he said you're not allowed to touch the Anfield sign until you win something. And he never let us touch it. Like, very superstitious club. But I do think even if the club had approached Klopp and said we want to make you a statue, he'd have been like, no, not yet. Like, I'm not done. Don't give me one until I'm done. And when he's gone and he either retires or he leaves us somewhere else, whatever he decides to do at the end of his contract, then I want a 20-foot, 30-foot statue of Jurgen Klopp. That's what I want.
Yeah, I mean, before you go, homie, I think Ian here, he's saying that Klopp's singing after we lost to Madrid. So correct me if I'm wrong, but we came in 4th that year. We just barely made it into the top 4, right? And then we lost to Madrid in the final.
Yeah.
In the league. That was a massive moment for me too. I mean, just from the fact that we became actually a colossal club again, we're almost the kings of Europe again. We realized our potential and realized that we could, you know, take on the Real Madrids, we could, you know, take on the Manchester Cities, and that's what propelled us to the Champions League final and chasing Man City in one of the greatest title races ever seen. Unfortunately, we lost it by a point or two, but still, like, that
1 point on the last day, and I will not forget that.
Yeah, but still, that was one of the greatest football seasons I think ever, and you know, we won the Champions League, so that was a turning point for me.
That was amazing.
I think my moment that I knew was special was that 2015 season, because we'd beaten Chelsea, City, we'd beaten Man United in the Europa League, beat Dortmund. That felt for me that it was special because we were playing amazing football against these big teams.
Like, yeah.
And, you know, also kicked Man United out. That was one of the few times we actually won. We beat them and we kicked them out over two legs, and the first time we ever played them over two legs in Europe. So I think that was special for me to know that, you know, we have a manager that if he can get the players he wants in to kind of like take the squad to another level, then we can go for different things, big things there. You know, because I do remember the football we had then between Coutinho, Bobby, and Mane was a sexy football. You know, it was just like, yeah. we weren't defensively solid, but we just played beautiful football. Like, it was
Ferrari
like...
Ferrari up front, that's what it was. Yeah. Ferrari up front and a reliant Robin in the back. That's what we were.
100% we were. Okay, so what was, before Klopp scored again, season, before he won the main trophies, what was your favourite goal that you can remember?
I couldn't pick between two. There were two that I just kept coming back to. It was Mane's back heel in the 5-0 win over Watford. Like, that goal was just... That was just savage, wasn't it? Like, he just absolutely messed with them. Like, we absolutely battered them that game in general. But I think Mane was just toying with them at that point, wasn't he? He was just having shots for fun. And the second one was Salah's rocket of a shot versus Chelsea in the 18-19 season. Like, that goal, like, did anyone else remember Peter Drury's commentary when Salah scored that? It was like, he wet himself. He was so excited. But it was like, after that, there were so many, like, the animations that were made of Salah and that shot. And when you watched it, when it went from different angles and you just saw how it was actually possible that he got that shot in, it was just beautiful. Like, and I couldn't pick between the two of them. For me, they were like, I've got a lot of favorite goals, and it literally, I had about 15 of them, and I was going, I'm good. Like, it was worse than doing the FSG worst transfer. Like, I couldn't pick, but if I had to go with two, it would be the Mane and the Salah.
Andrew,
I mean, Bobby's dink. It was. Oh, I loved that goal, and he just absolutely beasted John Stones, and that's what kind of kicked us off in that second half. But for me, well, I love the two Oxlade-Chamberlain goals against City as well. Those were great. But for me, the best goal that we scored as a team was that goal against Hoffenheim in the Champions League quarterfinal. I mean, qualifying. Like, the movement of the team. The through ball by Genie to, I think it was to Mane, or yeah, I think it was to Mane or Firmino, and then the flick and then the tap in by Chan. It was just, and then Klopp in the background saying that's football. Like, that's the epitome for me. It was just the beautiful game right there. And it was just, I watched that goal so many times. Like, that's what you want in a football match. You want to see plays like that. That's the beautiful game.
I think I wasn't going for that goal because that's an amazing goal, because since you took it. I think for me, my favorite goal was Salah versus, as Ian Francis just said, the Salah goal against Tottenham. That should have been a match winner. He had no right to score that goal, like the skill he did there. And I was like, that's just
a match winner.
That should have been a match winner because it was a sexy goal. And I was furious at the time when Spurs went down the other end and equalised. Harry Kane cheating, you know. But that was, that was disappointing.
FSG out there, the Bobby goal when he went through Arsenal's defence like butter.
Oh, yeah, that's a good goal.
I remember watching that because we lived with my mum and dad's at that point, and obviously me and my dad are like big Reds, and Keith is an Arsenal fan, and we're watching that game, and as Bobby like sat them all on their arse, me and my dad just absolutely bullied him for days. Every time Keith came home from work, my dad would go, "Hi, Keith." Like, that's all it was, all the time. Like, our front door was there, and then our stairs. And my dad used to just sit on the stairs and wait for Keith to come in, and then he'd be like,
"Poor guy."
That's all he did. My dad was the biggest wines of merchant for him. It was amazing. That was really good. I do agree with that.
Just read some of the comments here. Chris Gross says Liverpool 2-0 Salah rocket before that game. So yep. Chelsea fans actually abused him. As a girl. Ian Farr says the Salah goal versus City last season. Don't forget the corner taking quickly. Salah dink the City Champions League 2-1 celebration for the fans. Yeah, that was a good
celebration when he was just in front of the fans. That was the best thing ever. That was
I'd also say that Roma goal he scored against Roma when he curled on the edge of the box, when he used to do those wicked goals. That was outstanding goal. Going on. So we're moving on to trophies now. So how did you feel about Klopp winning us the big number six again? You know, what were your memories of that, you know, for you when you think back to it? You know, how, you know, because obviously, you know, a lot of people didn't have us get to that final and definitely didn't have us being the one that's lifting up that trophy at the end. You know, Man City were favourites. I think Bayern Munich were second favourites that season. Everyone doubted us that we could do it, especially after the Barcelona defeat. Everyone had us written off. Yeah, so how did you feel, you know, that, you know, obviously after that, with Klopp, thinking about Klopp winning number six and also us picking up number six?
That number six meant everything to me. Because when we last won it, I was 10, the first time we won it. And I remember, just going back to 2005, obviously the parade, I was only 10 and I sat on my dad's shoulders, you know, outside on Chilwell, Chilwell Five Ways, waiting for the bus to go past. And my dad was like, there's our boys, babe. Like, that meant everything to me as a child. So when we won it the sixth time, we had a party at my mum and dad's, a big garden party. And the game had barely just started and Salah's got the penalty. And me and my dad were already like sobbing, like crying. And we were like, oh my God, this is happening. Like, this is actually going to happen. And it was just amazing to have like that feeling again. And I'll always say, like, my dad's like my biggest thing with football. Like, that's where it comes from. I love football and my relationship with my dad. And to do that again, but as an adult, was everything to me. And just watching the way, I mean, it wasn't the best final in the world, but it was more that we've got number six. Like, number six is coming. And then, obviously, as the game went on, it was evident that we were going to win it. The more drunk we just got, and the more we danced around. And I don't know if you've seen the video that I've actually put it on my Twitter quite a few times of me and my dad celebrating at the end of it. And my mum's walking around with a lemonade bottle going, ah! Like, there's an empty lemonade bottle. And you can just see me sitting in the background going, what does that mean if we won something? Because she doesn't follow footy. And then you just got me and my dad like in the corner crying, hugging. And that video just sums up everything about that win. Like, it meant so much more than football to me. That was like my childhood, like, revisited in a day. It was incredible. Like, bringing home number six, and this time it wasn't Stevie. It was his successor. It was Henderson. It was a whole new team under Klopp, and it was everything we wanted. And we didn't. The first big trophy we won under Klopp was the big one, the big ears. Like, you couldn't have asked for a better first trophy, could you? Like, it was everything to me. Like, yeah, I don't know what else I could say. It was amazing.
I mean, I don't know if I can add anything to that, a Liverpudlian actually, you know, who was there for it. But I think it was just Jurgen Klopp personified. You know, he fulfilled his promise of delivering a massive trophy in 4 years. And I just remember after the Barcelona game, like, just the players and the powerful, powerful moment of all of the players singing You'll Never Walk Alone in front of the Kop. It was like, it made me proud to be a Liverpool fan. It was probably one of the coolest things I'd ever seen in sport. And, you know, definitely one of the most powerful moments I'd ever seen in sport. So, and even at the end of that game, I think it was at the end of the Champions League final that Jordan Henderson went to his father and was like just bawling in his arms, and just like, you could just see the relief, you know, the pride, everything just came out. And it was this, the emotion captured was absolutely beautiful. And it just meant a lot. It meant a lot to a lot of people. And it was just great to finally get number six. Cause we know we all wanted it for a while.
Yeah. I think it's more like when you watch the end of that final, like the end of the Barcelona game, that was like the point where we kind of knew we pretty much won it. Like for me anyway, like, so I didn't want to watch the Barcelona game. Like I was adamant after that 3-0 when I did not want to watch it. And like Keith forced me. And he was like, just watch it, because if you go, if you don't, if you go out, you're going to want to watch it, lads, like properly. And he forced me to. And I've never been so happy, but I actually had to stand in the garden and shut the door when it got to, like, the extra time. I was like, I'm too scared to watch it. Watching the lads at the end of the game, like, just sat on the floor, like, in disbelief, like, oh my God, we've just done another comeback. We've done another European comeback. And I think it was like when you see, like, Genie sat, like, in the middle of the pitch, like, hands on his knees, just staring, think, like, the relief they must have felt. And they must have felt really numb, like disbelief, like, we've just done that.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah.
But it was just all the photo of Trent after we won the final, and he sat in the tunnel with his medal around his neck, and you're just like, oh, like, a six-year-old, you would be so proud. Proper tear-jerking, innit?
So we have some comments here. Glenn Knightley, good to see you, Glenn. If you want a good Arsenal podcast to go follow and watch, do check out Glenn's channel. He's one of the good ones out there for Arsenal. So good to see him tonight. Chris Wells says, Henderson won more Premier League and Champions Leagues than that overrated fraud, Paul Pogba. Don't talk to me, Man United fans. FSG Out says, Man United fans were impressed after that Champions League final. They were. Chris Wells echoes again, Henderson going to his dad after taking the Champions League trophy. Glenn Knight says, it meant a lot to Arsenal fans, you know, in terms of us beating Tottenham. And that's senior final against Tottenham. After I couldn't drink after, I couldn't remember that night. I got so drunk and done so many illegal drugs. Great night for me. I think a lot of people are doing drugs and drinking that night if they're into that. Yeah, I think for me, because I'd seen, that's the second Champions League final I'd seen after the 2005 one that we won. I think this was special after like disappointments of 2007, and then, you know, disappointments of Kiev, and I felt like, you know, this is even sweeter because it felt a retribution. You know, Salah, kind of like a year later, comes back to win the trophy. Felt retribution because I think like we beaten Bayern Munich that year, Barcelona, you know, and we deserved to be in that final. We beaten some of the big giants. We deserved to be in that final, you know, and it felt good to know that, you know, I'd refer to that final to being against City because I'd love to have beaten City in the final. But, you know, Spurs got there by merit. But it just felt like we were back dying in the big leagues. You know, we're back at the top of the table, you know, because Klopp put us in, we weren't like, there was a period for time, you know, under Benitez where we were ranked number one team in Europe. And it'd been so long since we'd been at the top of the table. And I felt that Klopp restored Liverpool's pride in Europe. And people knew that Liverpool are a team to be reckoned with, to be feared with, to be respected, and that they can go to anyone, whether it's Barcelona, City, anyone, and beat them over two legs and go through. So, and that was the key thing for me. And, you know, it wasn't the best final, but, you know, it was just like, you know, that divot goal kind of shone for me in terms of like him coming in and getting a winner, because all the criticism he had for Divock over the season, like, to get that goal was huge. And I just felt like, you know, what Klopp showed in that final as well was the difference between why he's a world-class manager. At half-time, he knew Bobby wasn't working. He took him off. Bruno Origi. Pochettino stuck with Kane the whole game, who had been crap the whole game and wasn't unfit. Spurs were shadow of the team. He was back from injury, but he shouldn't have been playing.
He should have gone.
No, yeah, it should have been Mora. The game in general, wasn't he? Like, he rushed him back.
Yeah, but I remember Kane before the game saying that if I don't start the game, I'm going to consider my future. That's what he basically said, if I'm not starting. So he put him under huge pressure to start him, and he was crap the whole game because he wasn't fit. So for me, that again shown for me while Klopp was, you know, world class manager. So, you know, it wasn't as special as 2005, but it was a great night, you know, and I felt that, you know, it felt good to be a Liverpool fan again after, you know, so long without having won anything for us. So,
The best part about that final was after the final whistle, that video of Jurgen Klopp for like 8 minutes. And he's just running around to every single player and hugging every single player. That's the best part. And I don't know. I've watched it a few times. I don't know who got the best hug. It's either Allison, Hendo, or Bobby. He holds Bobby for like 10 seconds. Yeah. Yeah. So that was the best part of the game.
You know, the best highlight of the entire winning number six was the day after with the parade. Me, dad, Keith, and our next door neighbor at the time, we were walking to Chilwell Valley, and we were like, pair of the dog, like, we need to go into Gattaca Village, like, we need to go to the pub. So we're getting a second drink, and my dad goes to me, oh, Soph, he goes, look who's over there. And I went, who? Like, I don't know, like, this man's just sat in the corner. Next minute, this bloke just turned around, and I went, oh my god, it's Gerard. Like, fucking Steven Gerard sat in the pub in Gattaca Village, and I was like, I have my phone out, and I'm going, oh my god, it's Steven Gerrard! And he looks up and I was like, I'm gonna go fucking say hiya. And then I was like, he's hungover, so you can't. I was like, fucking watch me. Like, you do not meet Steven Gerrard on Champions League parade day and not say hello. So I'm really sorry. I said to him, I was like, but can I have a hug and can I have a picture? And I've got a picture of me and Steven Gerrard, like, absolutely hungover to fuck out with.
Where is it?
It's the ugliest picture I've ever got. I was like, I've just met fucking Steven Gerrard. Like, you can all kiss me ass. Like, yeah, Champions League final.
I'm so jealous.
In the meantime, while you're finding that, I'm just going to read that some of the comments. Chris Wells, I still can't believe we turned it around against Barcelona in the second leg. So mad. Klopp out since 2005 was more special. Chris Wells, before the Liverpool 4-0 game, we went to that game saying the tie's already over. Another trophy received, and the rest was history. Ian Ross has been robbers, arm struck between Klopp and Hendo.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Yeah. Klopp his hand is like this, and he just like slowly wheezes it out.
Chris Wells, I knew we'd beat Tottenham in the final. It's Tottenham. Spurs. Klopp out, so Spurs are terrible the whole game. Yeah, and also just make sure everyone, if you haven't done, smash that like button. Also, hit the subscribe button. Oh, cool. Voite.
Stevie, he's the king.
Absolutely. The pair was like, Worth it.
So moving on, what was your favourite Champions League goal under the season we won the Champions League?
Just give me 1 second.
The season when we won it?
Yeah, what was your favourite Champions League goal?
Oxlade-Chamberlain's goal. Wait, no, that was the season before.
Yeah.
Dang it. Sophie, do you have one?
Yeah, hang on. It has to be corner taken quickly. Like, that's iconic, that goal.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. It was either corner. I loved when Mane turned Neuer at the Allianz, like, when he turned him and just spun him around and sat him. That was great. But corner taken quickly is, like, the iconic goal. Like, of all the goals scored in that comeback, you see Shaqiri walking through the corner and Trent's like, lol, nope. Because all of Barcelona's defence are just too busy complaining about getting the corner given to Liverpool in general, that Trent just takes all the opportunities and Divock just throws himself at it. It's like, it's just such an iconic goal. And even now, like, what, 2 years later, you only have to go corner and you go, corner, take it quickly, Origi! You all shout it. That's the goal. It's the goal.
Andrew? All right, I'm not going to pick that one because it's already been picked. But it is the goal. Same game, Genie Wijnaldum's header third goal. That was like the pop blew off of Anfield. Everybody lost it. The game was tied. We were going to win. Everybody knew, Barcelona knew we were going to win. That's what happened. And it was just, you know, he came on in the second half, didn't start. One of the few times he didn't start in a big game. And he got two clutch goals for us. That's like, you know, even the Genie Wijnaldum haters can't take that away from him. And it was a beaut. It was an absolute beaut.
It's the fact that, like, he goes into the goal and, like, robs the ball. It's like, no, let's go. They keep going. Like, he doesn't celebrate.
That was his first goal.
He doesn't even celebrate it. He's just kind of like, carry on. Let's go. Let's keep going. Like, you literally see him, like, grab the ball. He just goes, fucking go. let's go again.
Yeah.
But yeah, that genie's goal was like great. That one, like spider monkey header was incredible.
Yeah, I think for me, I'll probably go for the Mane goal because I can't really think of any ones before that. That was amazing goals that we scored. I can't remember that. I think we scored a good one against Porto in the away game, but I can't remember how the goal worked. So I'll go for the Mane because of the Van Dijk pass, the Mane turn, and it's because it was against Bayern Munich as well.
That was fantastic.
And you know, to do it in the Allianz Arena, and actually tear Bayern Munich apart was beautiful. So I think that was mine. Just looking at the, Ian Frost says Gini's header versus Barca, the Bullet. That's a great header. I think that's all that people have said. Okay, going to the next question. Moving on to the Premiership. How did it feel, Klopp winning number 19 for you? You know, what were your memories of that season? Oh, yeah. Oh, quick, before I go into that, Ian Frost said the Bobby goal versus PSG when he came on. That was a great goal.
That was great.
Yeah. So going to the question, how did it feel Klopp winning us number 19 after so many years of people slating us, laughing at us, winning Liverpool in the league, you know, and the fact that he was a man to bring us a trophy, turn us from doubts into believers. You know, and what was your memories, you know, of that season, especially after the heartache of the season before, missing out by a point, you know, just to the ghost goal against City. So, you know, how did that feel for you, Sophie?
I'm going to be genuinely honest. I still feel robbed. I feel robbed of that. You know, 30 years we've waited for this elusive trophy to come back home. And we finally had an amazing, like, 13 points clear at Christmas, 72 points, you know, at the top of the table from February. Like, we were absolutely dominating it. And then obviously a worldwide pandemic came along and was like, lol, Liverpool, no. It just felt like the worst luck possible. Like, that could only happen in our winning season. You know, I'm not going to take away from the fact that we played amazing football, but after Project Restart, we knew we kind of won it and the games weren't the same. It was really difficult. And I feel like the shine was taken off it, especially not being able to have a trophy parade as well. That really did it. But, like, yeah, like Ian Francis said that it felt great, but COVID left a sour taste. Like, it just took the cherry off the top of it for me. You know, like, on the day we actually, like, the final game where we lifted the trophy, me and my friends, we went out into town and we were watching it in the pub. And then afterwards, like, 86th minute or something, just as the last goal went in, we went out outside Anfield and obviously there were flares. And it was an amazing environment, like, amazing atmosphere out there considering everything going on. But
you were there for that?
Yeah. Awesome. I was outside. We were outside the gates. So we left about 4 or 5 minutes to go, literally after the last goal. And we got there just in time because after that last goal went in, everyone kind of left. And then you couldn't get anywhere near Anfield. Like, we were literally at the gates. And it was amazing. Like, everyone was just singing and cheering and dancing. And, like, you could just feel, like, how happy and relieved everybody was to have it. But at the same time, it was really disheartening knowing that there was no one inside the stadium we were standing outside of. And that our boys were stood there on a platform lifting it alone. And that made it, like, really heart-wrenching in a way because, like, I just want to be, you know, 50 feet that way. I just want to be 50 feet inside that stadium, not out here. I know they could hear us and they could see everything with, like, all the flares and the fireworks we were setting off. But it just ruined what should have been absolutely amazing memory. And even now, like, we can't do a trophy parade for it now. It's too far gone. Like, it feels like something we'll never get to celebrate. But then equally, we won the league. And I had bragging rights for the entire fucking year. Every time someone said I tried, won the league. Won the league. Won the league. Yeah, but won the league. The Sky's team, I won the league. Like, I didn't care. We'd won it. But I just wish it hadn't happened with the circumstances, especially off the back of the season we had before, you know, where we lost it by 1 point. We had the best title race battle. We won the Champions League. Then we won the league the year after. It felt like poetry in motion. And then COVID just slapped us about. So for me, I was happy we won it, but it just wasn't. Number six was better for me because I got to, like, actually celebrate it and be there.
I just thought it was bittersweet, you know, like, yeah, we won it, and like the initial emotion and like the celebrations were awesome. It was great following around the players on Sky and like hearing Hendo talking about it, hearing Trent, hearing Jurgen talk about it with Kenny and all of them. That was great. But it felt very underwhelming after that. You know, it was just, okay, now it's still COVID. We're still playing the season. There's no parade. They're going to have 2 weeks off and the next season's going to start. It was just like, we never had time to celebrate it. So unfortunately, why it was awesome. I was really hoping they would do it again. But you know, it really just showed how this team is really resilient. I know that we haven't seen it this year as much due to all the injuries, but you know, we lost the Champions League final to Real Madrid. Next season, we came back and won it. We lost to Man City the Premier League title by 1 point. Next year, we came back and won it by 18. So like that's just how these guys are, and I have no doubt in my mind that next season when we're fully fit, we're gonna be right back up there, and Champions League or not, we're gonna be back up there, and I really think we're gonna push Man City for the title. I know United's gonna be there, Chelsea's gonna be there, but we're still a very formidable team.
Lads, I've just thought of something. When we won the league last year, obviously we couldn't celebrate it because of COVID. You're not going to be able to celebrate this year's league win either because of COVID. Liverpool playing 4D chess. That's what we've done.
I don't know what you think.
We forfeited the title so that we don't win number 20 with no fans. We win number 20 next year when the first trophy parade is allowed for 2 years. Imagine how amazing that's going to be in the city of Liverpool. Think of number 6, the millions of people we had on the Dock Road. Triple it. you best come over from the States for that when we win number 20, swear to God.
Best believe.
we'll be on the live album together.
I just made some of the comments here. Ian Francis says it felt great, but COVID left a sour taste. Ian Francis, Lovren drove there as well, what a legend. FSG out says, you mean, well, if you want to be pandemic, that's basically like saying Real Madrid 6 Champions Leagues that don't count. So name change doesn't really change the fact that you won the trophy 19 or 7 times. So, you know, maybe FSG, you've got a bit of taste right now in terms of Liverpool. Like, I'd go for a walk, mate, because, you know, that's just really sad you way you think that way. I think for me...
read a book or something.
Yeah, I think for me, like, it was after years and years. So I my brother's a massive Arsenal fan, big season ticket holder. So I grew up with, you know, them, the stupid doubles in 98, them winning it in 96 with George Graham. And I had it shoved in my face all the time. The Invincible era, I had all that shoved in my face. So to win the league title with him saying, you're never going to win any title in my lifetime, was just like, it was so sweet, and just shove it in his face, and I still shove it in his face today now, so that, you know, we won a league title. So, but yeah, it just felt sweet, and it just felt like, you know, Liverpool back at the top of the table again, like we were back at the best team in the Premiership, and we deserved it. Like, no one could criticise us, no one could say we didn't deserve it. You know, we were the best team in the Premiership that season. We'd beaten everyone that season. So, you know, it just felt so good. And also the fact that, you know, that Klopp delivered on his promise. He delivered on the promise of, you know, I'm going to turn doubts to believers. And we, you know, we came away with number 19. So it just felt like sweet, you know, especially for the players after losing out by a point last year, the year before that. So, you know, I just felt like I loved what I did at that Klopp interview when he sat in the training room and all the players come up behind him and they start shouting stuff behind him. And it's like, yeah, like I just, you know, that's, you know, this is summed up like how connected the players were and how, like, how much it meant for everyone. The fact that, you know, Liverpool were now the talk of the town and no one could say, oh, when you won the league, when's the last time you won the league? I hated that. I used to hate hearing that. So it just felt like, yeah, really, of course, not having the parade was a massive blow. It would have been amazing to have everyone in the city there, but you know, we won it, and that's the most important thing. And you know, we can, it put us one behind United, so we can now push on to getting number 20. So, you know, that's, that, that felt, you know, really good. What was your favourite goal under that season when we won the title?
Fabinho versus City. You know which goal. That absolute power shot. Like, that, do you know what? As soon as you sent me, like, you know, like what questions we were doing, the first goal that came to mind was that Fabinho strike. Like, I was going through earlier, like trying to watch, you know, like best, you know, the Liverpool goals that season. And I'm watching them and I'm going, oh, that's such a good goal. And like, I was torn between Virgil van Dijk's header off against Brighton with off Trent's corner, where he just bangs it right in, and you can hear him shout over the fans, "It's mine." And I was like, oh, I'm going to go for that. And everyone that came out with the next, I was going, is the next clip that Fabinho goal? Is the next clip that Fabinho goal? Like, I remember watching that, and I remember Fabinho and seeing him set up to take the strike. And I was like, oh my God, please don't do that. I was like, please, you're going to send it right over the bar. You're going to hoof it. Like, this is a really good chance. Please don't do it. Oh, okay, enough medicine. Like, I have never screamed so much. Because, big.
No, that was his celly. That was his celly break.
He's like, honey, the fuck up, set your lights off in a minute. But like, he was, that was just a fantastic goal. And that was like cemented it for me that Fabinho was one of my ultimate favourite players that we would ever see under Klopp. Because he's not normally the player you'd think you would be comfortable with taking a shot at goal. He'd be the one like doing the cross or the assist or breaking up the counter attack on the, you know, the, on the rebound. And for him to do that goal against City, oh, it was revenge for fucking. Who was it? Fernandinho. The year before, he took a shot. Oh my God, who was it? The season before in the City game. I'm gonna have to find it. It's gonna bother me. Fernandinho.
I don't think it was Fernandinho.
And everyone was telling him not to. Was it Kyle Walker?
Oh, I don't know. Vincent Kompany scored, like, in the, that was against Leicester, though.
There was a goal done by one of the City players, and it shouldn't have gone in. It's going to bother me. It wasn't Kyle Walker. But anyway, it was like, it was kind of like just satisfaction of, okay, you did this to us last year, we've just done it back to you type thing. And that was an amazing goal. But I'm going to have to find out who it was now. So please, carry on.
How'd you go?
For me, there was two. I'll go with my second favorite first. My second favorite was against Southampton. And Jordan Henderson made that run from, it went from box to the 6-yard box of the opponent against Southampton. And Bobby crossed it into him. He just one-timed it, rifle right into the back of the net. I think that was our go-ahead goal, and we went up 2-1 and ended up winning the game. I think 3-1. But his celebration, he was just running down, going like this. That was awesome. That was just like a captain's goal for me, just making that heroic run down the pitch. But the best goal for me, not a shadow of a doubt, was Mo Salah against Manchester United. I mean, he. Allison's clearance to him. He held off Daniel James, puts him in the back of the net between De Gea's legs, takes his shirt off in front of the cop, celebrates. Everybody's singing, "We just won the league." Allison's running the full length of the pitch and meets up with Salah. He's the first one to get there. That was it. That was a season one for me. And it was just against United too. It was awesome. Absolutely awesome.
I think for me, my ones were, my second favorite was Bobby versus Wolves, because how massive that goal was. Like, we were potentially throwing the title away that game against Wolves. And then Bobby came up with that big goal where Wolves actually batted us that most of that game, and we scored in the last minute. And then I think for me, my favorite was the Trent goal against Leicester, because that was when Boxing Day, we'd come back from the World Cup Championships. Everyone had written us off saying Leicester's going to be a banana peel for us because Leicester been playing good. We went in there, smashed Leicester, and then Trent scoring that goal, you know, the last 10 minutes where he ran down the pitch and smacked it. It just showed that, you know, Liverpool are the real deal. We're battering, you know, I think they were third in the league at the time, you know, and we just destroyed someone who was challenging for the title against us. So I think those are my two favorite goals.
Not United? Dude, the United one's by far the best.
No, I think for me, those are pivotal moment goals for me, because I feel like that goal against Leicester kind of put the benchmark for us to go on and charge for the rest of the season. And that Wolves game was pivotal, because we were going to draw that game, and then Bobby turned up with that last minute goal. That was
actually, you know what the second best goal was? Against City, the switch from Trent to Robertson, one touch cross to Salah.
Oh, that gosh, was probably the best goal.
That's probably the best goal.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
That was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
It was all the kick.
There were three touches. Three touches.
Yeah, that was a great goal.
Oh, that was such a good goal.
Yeah, that was a great goal.
I still can't remember who it was, by the way. I'll have to find out later in the sentence. It's bothering me. You know when it's sitting at the back of your head and you're going, I remember the goal, but I can't remember who scored it. I'll find it later.
All right, moving on. What was your favourite Klopp interview?
I had to pick between a presser and a post-match. I couldn't just kind of pick. So my favourite presser, I had two. My favourite one of my top favourite was in 2016. A journalist from The Sun asked Jurgen Klopp a question, and he turned around and straight away went, I do not answer things from The Sun. I do not respond to questions from The Sun. I have no involvement with The Sun. He said, you can sit there, you can listen, you can write whatever report you want to write, but you will not ask me any more questions. And for me, he'd only been with us a year at that point, and that was like, this man gets our club. He doesn't just get our club, he gets our city's history, and the absolute hate we have for that rag of a paper. Like, he's not even English. He has every right to answer that, being a professional. Like, every other manager would probably have just answered that, but he had respect for his city and his club and his fans that he just didn't, he refused to answer it. And for me, I was kind of like, yes, fuck you. And then the other one was the PSG pre-match conference where the French translator's in his ear and he goes, ooh, that's a bit.
I was going to say that one.
And he's like, that's a very erotic voice. Can you say it? I rewinded that and was laughing because it's his face. He just kind of goes,
you're there.
Well, that's quite nice. But I love that one. And then post-match, I was torn between, I heard By and Lost, where it was turned into that song, like, boom. Like, it was the boom that got me. Or after the Super Cup, where he turned around and goes, Adrian! Like, yeah. Rocky! They were amazing ones to me. Like, I think we've had so many, but they were, like, perfect ones to me. Like, they just sum up Klopp, don't they?
The only thing I would add to that is the one, because those are all the best ones. Those are all the best ones. Obviously, the original presser was I think the best. But then after we beat Man City, I think it was that 4-1 game. And afterwards, the interviewer is like, "Oh, what did you think of the game?" And he just goes, "I only have one word to say: boom." And he starts like cracking up laughing. That was the best. That was like just Jurgen Klopp in a nutshell for me. The translator one was my number one. That was my number one.
That's
ready. I don't think I'm a bit boring. I'm just gonna stick the Premiership one, because I felt like you see the emotion, how happy he was for the fans to have won the league title, how much it meant for him as a person, as a manager, and how, you know, maybe the other one is when he said that, you know, we will fight, was a big one for me, kind of like
for Barca.
We will fight, and you know, and see what comes up. And even after that, when he said that was the most amazing match he'd ever seen. Like he didn't know how to describe it. Everyone else, if you know, give us your top Klopp interview moments. And if you haven't yet, do smash that like and subscribe button. Helps us get out to more people.
Blade Brown, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, man. Like, how do you come in here and say this? This is just blasphemy. Like, Jurgen Klopp, the best thing that happened to Liverpool in the past 20 years, and You're gonna write this up there? I just don't get it. I just
these people for me are what you would identify as a very fickle fan. And I feel like the blessing of this season for me personally is it's gonna weed out all those like glory hunting fake fans who are there just for the good times, not there for the bad times. Like they clearly went there for Hodgson, they clearly went there for, you know, the Gillette and Hicks, they weren't there for the FSG takeover. They didn't see anything between the, you know, after 2005 onwards, they didn't, you know, lose the Premier League nearly twice. They didn't lose in Kiev. Like, they weren't there for any of that. They came in when the going got good. And if you can't support our boys on an off season, which has undeniably been the worst year in everybody's life, it's not been a normal year and it's not been a normal season. But if you're going to sit there and say, in a trophyless season, how is that acceptable? Then why don't we say the same for every other manager in the Premier League, La Liga, Bundesliga, the Italian League, the Turkish League, any other team that hasn't won top spot? It's not excuses. It's fact. So there are what? How many teams are there in our Premier League? Remind me again, quickly, before I forget. I'm on one. How many have we got?
Well, how many games left? 6 games left, remember.
No, how many teams have we got in the Premier League?
Oh, there's a... What?
20?
There's 20.
20, yeah. That's all there was. You know when your mind goes blind? So there's 20 teams.
38 games.
Right? There is only one team who can win the title. So that leaves 19 teams who are trophyless. Okay? So those 19 teams, all those managers need to be sacked. It's not been a normal year. And you've got so much disrespect for Jurgen Klopp and our team in general, if that's the way you think. Like, any other big team with a sack their manager, so you want us to be like Tottenham. You want us to go through three different managers in 6 months' time. You want us to play like hop along manager. Like, no, I'd rather keep a manager who's tried and tested and proven, who I know loves our club, rather than sit there and buy the next checkbook manager, the next Pep Guardiola, or the next, you know, Pochettino. Or Mourinho, who has also been sacked again.
I'll say, Sanky said, if you can't support us when we lose or draw, don't support us when we win. So some of these fans wouldn't survive the Sanky era because they would have been kicked out, kicked away. So, you know, I just say let them say what they want to say because they won't be here next year to support Liverpool. So,
meanwhile, you have Chris Welch here saying, "I cry with joy when crowned Premier League champions. As I didn't see us win the league in my lifetime." That's what I'm talking about right there. And he's like, "I'm not even a crying person." Exactly. That says it all right there.
If you didn't cry when Klopp teared up on that interview afterwards, like you're not connected to the club. If you didn't at least like get a little bit choked up when you saw him. That man's everything, isn't he?
Yes.
What, moving on, what was your favourite Klopp signing?
Haven't we done favourite game?
Oh, no, favourite. What's your favourite game under Klopp?
Yeah, favourite game under Jurgen Klopp. Leicester 4-0 Boxing Day. I know it was mentioned before, so I'm not going to go into it again. But yeah, that game, 13 points clear, you know, solidified our Premier League win. Like, it sent Leicester out of the running, didn't it? They were right behind us. It put them out for the count. It was great.
Andrew?
It's easily Barcelona. That was the best game I've ever seen. Barcelona. 4-0.
I'm going to be different. I'm just going to say, not that the other two weren't as good, but I'm just going to say the 5-2 win against Everton. We put our second team out just to kill Everton over. That was that.
I remember that.
that was beautiful. So, otherwise, yeah, the other two games were better, but I'd go for that one since it was different. Okay, moving on. What was your favourite Klopp signing?
No, I did top five, and I'm not letting you tell
that's
me
the question. That's the question.
Top five.
That's the question.
Five. You can't
have
five
one
in order.
I'm in order.
They just do the top one.
Virgil van Dijk.
Who's number one?
Virgil van Dijk.
Van Dijk's number one.
Yeah. Always. Favorite,
okay.
Whatever that, but it also goes Alisson, Fabinho, Salah, and Robbo. Like I told you, I'd do all five.
Who's your favorite one, Andrew?
It's top. Well, I have two. Number one.
Oh, you can only have one.
No, well, I'm going to do what you did. Number one, Virgil van Dijk, no question. He changed the game, changed the team. You know, we won the title and the Champions League because of him. Obviously, without him, we're definitely struggling to find an identity. So he's essential to the squad. And we got ridiculed for the price tag, but he's well worth it. He's well worth it and twice more. But another big one that goes under the radar is Sadio Mane. Sadio Mane was absolutely massive for Liverpool. He played on the right. When Salah came back, he played on the left. He added a different dynamic to our game. He added so much pace, quickness, power. He's just – I know he's having a tough year this year, but he has been absolutely immense for us ever since Jurgen Klopp came into the team and ever since he came into the team. So without him, we wouldn't have made top four. We wouldn't have gotten Virgil van Dijk. You know, he was the first piece to the puzzle, I think, when Jurgen came in.
Yeah, also because you've taken Mane, so I'm gonna pick someone else different because obviously Mane wasn't my pick on my shirt, my little shirt. So I'll pick someone different. I think for me, I'm gonna be slightly different. I'm gonna say Andy Robertson. He solved the left back issue that we had for years. We couldn't fix the left back issue.
Yeah.
Came from Hull, and even for me, when we signed for Andy Robertson Hull, I thought we were wasting money. I thought we should have gone out and bought something big, you know.
Why am I not surprised?
No one rated Robertson when we came from Hull.
Oh no, anyone less than a 30 million price tag, you're not happy with.
Show me a tweet, Sophie, when you said we should sign Robertson. No one said Andy Robertson. Everyone frowned at it, and he turned it to be ridiculous buy, you know, and no one ever says now left back's an issue anymore, you know, and what he's done. I think there's a picture of head of Andy Robertson and Maguire, and they said that one left to win their dreams, the other one's just won nothing in his career.
That picture of both of them at Hull, and it's like one went to be the star left back at Liverpool, and the other one's a fridge. It's like, well, yeah, it is. He's a
fruit. So, yeah, I think Robertson is my favourite different because of what he's done. And the fact that, you know, he probably would have never dreamed of winning Champions Leagues, League Cups, Super Cups if he hadn't joined Liverpool. You know, the fact that he's been, it's not his best season this year, but overall, he's really put a foot wrong for us. And he's been world-class. Marked out some of the best players, wingers in the world, and you know, he's just been a phenomenal signing. And he's probably epitomizes also FSG Moneyball strategy of, you know, picking up a young player that no one's really heard of and, you know, making them world class. So, you know, just looking at the chat here, FSG has a Shaqiri is your favorite. You know, fair enough.
There's no way. That's a troll.
Yeah. If you're going to say Shaqiri is your favorite Klopp signing, then yeah, fair enough.
There's no way.
Chris Wall says Sophie Wilhelmi's ready to start already. It's never show what that means, Sophie arguing. You know, that's twice. So
it happens all the time.
Chris Wall, Salah for me, the king. Yeah, I was going to say, I did think about Salah, but I thought it'd be different and give a different spice. But, you know, there's been so many top class players that we signed. It's hard to really pick. I'm pretty sure if push come to shove, you know, there's others you could probably debate who'd be number one as well. You know,
it's got to be Virgil, though. I'm sorry. Like, I understand Mane being the first puzzle piece. Like, Mane, you're right, and he's the first puzzle piece. And Robbo, he solved the problems. But like we said before, our front three were a Ferrari, and our back was a Reliant Robin. Like, you know, the three-legged, rusty-old red clapper that used to wake the whole neighbourhood up. It barely turned the engine over. And then Virgil came in, and it was like a fucking Rolls-Royce at the back of the fucking tank. That man, the minute that announcement got made, where he's standing in front of the Christmas tree with his shirt, that was the best moment for me, because I knew, like, I loved Virgil from the minute we were linked to him, and I knew we were going to get him. And then when we got him, it was just kind of like, this is the beginning to the end of our problems too. And then obviously that led on to us getting Alisson, and they're an undeniable force. And I don't think this season, Virgil being out, I don't think I've ever known a player to be injured and be followed in his injury recovery this much and pined for this much. Like, even when Ox got injured and we all wanted Ox back because he was fantastic before his injury, we didn't pine for Ox this much. Like, every day Virgil posts an update and we're all like that. Look at his knee, look at his leg, is he okay? But undeniably, yeah, he's been the best sign under Jurgen Klopp by far.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting one, that. Because obviously some would say we only won titles to Alisson join, but I can see why people like Van Dijk so much. But it's an interesting one, you know. But for everyone else, who's your favourite Klopp signing? Because obviously we've only got one person saying here. Two people actually, who's your favourite who's watching? And for the final Klopp appreciation question is, you know, how did you feel that the time when he signed it last year, that we're going to get 4 more years of Klopp? You know, we'll start with you, Andrew. How did you feel when you saw that Klopp have renewed his contract until 2024, and that we're going to get another 4 years of him? How did it make you feel?
I mean, I thought it was absolutely massive. I thought that I thought 5 years would have been too soon for him to leave, to be honest. You know, he did establish a legacy. He's obviously one of the greats now, but I'm glad that he decided to stay to ensure that transition. I don't think any manager could have come in and done, you know, could have taken over that transitional period and ensured that we had success. And I think that him signing until 2024, I was asked this question the other day. Do I think he's going to stay until 2024? 100% yes. I think he's a very loyal guy, and he's definitely going to stay on, especially with Flick, I think, is going to go to the German national team. But, obviously there's been a lot of questions asked this season about our aging squad, and Jurgen Klopp's the only man who can make the right decisions for us. The summer is going to be massive. We're going to see who comes in, who goes out, but I'm glad that we have Jurgen Klopp at the helm, because he's the one who's going to lead us forward. He's the one who's going to ensure this transition, and he's going to one that ultimately will allow the next manager to take over with a pretty damn good team and a young team once 2024 comes around. So,
oh my God, it's Charles! Oh my God, he's back!
Charles!
Yay, we love
Charles! Where you been, brother? Where have you been? Charles, I've been wondering where you've been for so long. So good to see you.
How's your quadruple going? How's your double going? How's your one trophy going, hon?
Good to see you, mate. Good to see you. Everyone else, make sure you smash that like button and subscribe if you haven't done. I think for me, for Sophie, how did you feel Klopp sign a new contract?
I don't really think there's much you can add on what Andrew said. Like, I think he summed it up, you know, really perfectly there. Like, Klopp has extended his contract. He could have extended it 2 years to, like, first legacy and then go. But he's extended it a little bit further, knowing that he can put in place the aging squad. Like, we have got an aging squad at the minute. We need to bring in fresher blood, but we need to give them a transition period. And who better to oversee that transition period than the man who created the club that we've got now?
Yep.
And I do think one day we will have Gerrard as a manager. And I hope that when Klopp retires in 2024, you know, that's 3 seasons away. 3 seasons more of Gerrard at Rangers being top flight manager in the Scottish Premier League. I think he'd be ready by that point. And by then, we've already got an established team that by then, our younger players that we've got now will be our older players and we'll have new blood in there. So there'll still be that link between the team we've got now and the team we're going to become. And I think it's very clever by FSG and Klopp to extend it that far, to really oversee and make sure. Because like Andrew said, you know, you said it perfectly, there's no one who could come in and just pick up where Klopp left off and do half a good job. Like, you need to have that bridge between the two. There's got to be some give and take for it. But yeah, I'm still made up.
I'm fingers crossed that Klopp will resign your contract and stay longer.
I don't think you will.
No.
If the German manager role is still taken by Flick, hopefully, like, his wife did say that she loves it in Liverpool. Like, even if you stay for another year, 2 years, I'd still
I don't think he will. Because what? Klopp's 55 now. Another 3 years of top flight managing. So he managed at Dortmund for what? How many seasons? Five, six seasons at Dortmund? Something like that.
I think he was there like 8 years.
8 years at Dortmund. So he's been, he was at Mainz before that. Then he was at Dortmund for 8 years. Then he'll have been with us. So he's staying another three seasons. He's been with us five. That's another 8 years. That's a manager of over 20 odd years. Like anyone who works like 20 odd years, you're ready for retirement. You know, the average person now will take early retirement. And Jürgen Klopp has got every right to take early retirement. And I feel like if he goes any longer, as much as I love Klopp, I do. I feel like if he goes any longer than those three seasons, it goes beyond, you know.
Chris Wells says we don't want Klopp to become another Wenger.
That's the thing. Like you don't want it to go beyond that bridge in between the old and new. You don't want it. I know they say if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But there comes a certain point where it's not broke, but it's kind of limping along. Like change is a good thing as long as it's done correctly. Like obviously Chris has just hit a nail on the head there when Wenger left Arsenal. It was after 20 odd years. Anyone who came in after them was going to struggle to pick it up, and we still see it now. Arteta's doing an all right job, but he's still there's still a lot of pressure because they're used to the good old ways. I think there's a certain time limit where you've just got to say enough is enough. We love you, we appreciate what you've done, but we need someone new now because you can't keep doing the same ideas. You have to change.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting too with what happens with Gerrard this year in the Champions League with Rangers. If he can get some good results, I'll be very, very impressed. Very impressed.
I can't wait to see Gerrard manage Liverpool one day. I think that'll be. But if he does it, he'll do it right.
So he says here, I'd love Klopp to get his contract and rebuild. Rebuild
exactly.
On.
Exactly.
Gandeep says, I think Gerrard should move to another European club after next season, like a top German or Spanish side, before he comes into us. I would agree with that. I don't think him staying in Scotland for the next 3 years is going to do anything for him. I think he needs to move on to another team in Europe, somewhere like that, and test himself there because, you know, just to get... I don't want a Lampard happen to him.
Like Zane just said that I hope Gerrard doesn't rush into the LFC job. I don't think that was ever be the case. You know, we absolutely idolise even just the notion of Steven Gerrard. Like, we worship the ground that man walks on. It would never be a Lampard situation. Like, that would never happen. And I think Gerrard himself has too much respect for the club. Like, if he felt for one second that he wasn't going to do a good enough job,
I agree.
That job. This club means the world to that man. Like, you know, you saw it in his last interview, like when he just before he left to go to America. Like, even that at the end of his career broke him. There's not any loves more than our club, and I don't think for one second that he'd even take up the notion of that job if he didn't feel he was going to do it justice and he was ready for it.
Well, that's obviously before moving to trivia, that's kind of like the end of our club appreciation questions, like, you know. We all love Klopp deeply, and he's been like an amazing manager for us, and probably arguably the best thing that's happened to Liverpool in the last, you know, 20 years. So, you know, and hopefully we have more trophies with Klopp going forward, and I'm sure we'll be back next season. We're going into trivia questions to wrap up the night. I've got three questions, and if anyone else has any good trivia questions, just jump in, or anyone else in the chat. If you've got a trivia question, just jump in and ask us. The first one I've got for you guys is, if you could choose one unhealthy thing that you could eat forever without getting fat, what would that be?
McDonald's.
Oh.
Mackey's. Like, love it. Don't ugh me. You have ranch dressing over there. Don't ugh me.
Oh, I love ranch dressing.
I'm not surprised.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Definitely chocolate chip cookies. No, not a question asked. Chocolate chip cookies with milk.
Oh, God.
You guys don't like chocolate chip cookies over there.
Yeah.
I like
Jaffa
cakes.
But they're like the basic snacks. If I'm starving, if I'm going to have a cheat day, I'm not going to open my cupboards and go, let's have a chocolate chip cookie. I'm going to be ordering the big, fattest takeaway I can possibly get my hands on. Like, Not gonna be looking at a chocolate chip cookie with fucking calcium. Mmm, good for my bones.
Hi, Dave. You just joined us in. Right, time for trivia. Trivia time. Gannett says Five Guys Burgers.
Okay, Five Guys.
I've never had one.
Five Guys is way better than McDonald's.
Yeah. I think for me, I would go for Dunkin' Donuts.
What?
Well, I get one of those big boxes of donuts. And I just...
Dunkin' Donuts are the worst donuts.
Are they?
What are you talking about?
Well, just donuts anyhow. Donuts.
American, take that from an American. That
you're insane,
donuts.
Man. Oh,
donuts, dude. Just donuts in general. Just donuts. Let's call it donuts.
Dave, Big Mac. Look, Dave's got my back for this. Yes. Mackies.
Oh, my God.
Big Mac.
Dunkin' Donuts? Come on, man. You can do better than that.
No, just donuts, though. Not Dunkin' Donuts, though. Just donuts in general. Like,
now it's the Upamecano all over again.
The glazed donuts.
These are the best donuts. Krispy Kreme donuts.
Which Krispy Kreme donut's your favorite?
Glazed donut.
Well, you have to get them warm straight from the shop. When they're warm, you gotta get just the glaze or the chocolate glaze. It's all you get.
Oh, I like the 101 sprinkling as well.
Or what?
101s.
I don't know if I've had those.
101s, you know the little flake things, they're like different colors.
Sprinkles.
Yeah, sprinkles. I'm pretty sure the 101's called.
Oh, right? Sprinkles, yeah.
Thousands or sprinkles.
Yeah, that's 100,000, that's it, yeah. That's it.
Oh my God, like the alphabet killer all over again.
Crazy classic.
The other day, Andrew, he called the Zodiac killer the alphabet killer.
I'm not a serial killer connoisseur. I'm sorry.
Well, homie, what are we going to do with you, man?
Put him in a box. Shut the door.
The next one, if you had to go back in time and you were stuck there.
Oh, there we go again with the back
forever. You couldn't leave there. You had to live there forever the rest of your life. What time zone would you pick?
Back in time?
And you have to live there forever.
1920s speakeasies. Yeah.
That's a good one. What would you do, homie?
Well, I was going to go back in time and I had to live there. That's a tough one. I'd probably go back to...
Is Steven in the chat? Is that him typing Disco Fever?
Yeah.
You know, I can see him at the big
I thought it was one of you two.
Zero. I'd go back to Roman days. Because life was quite good for Roman. Roman days.
No, dude, there's no personal hygiene back then. You'd have been dead at 30.
He'd have been dead about 5 years ago.
I think what, 1940s? What do you say, Zoe? Sophie?
You said the 20s.
1920s?
1920s prohibition speakeasies.
Those are cool.
That's what I do. The flapper dress. I'd wear the headbands and the flapper dress and, you know, do this and get drunk on illegal alcohol like moonshine. Yes, please.
Yeah, exciting times.
I would say
Dave says 577 CE. Dave says 70 CE.
Yeah. I would say the 60s. 60s for me. I think I said that last show, 60s. Free love, great music, revolution all throughout the world. The Beatles, like, that's the best time. We landed on the moon.
Dave has one for us. Westlife or Boyzone?
Westlife.
Andrew?
What'd you say?
Westlife or Boyzone?
He won't get who they are.
What's that?
Oh, you don't know them, like a boy band. I'd rather say Boyzone.
I know Bieber. That's all I know. Justin Bieber.
Oh, did he really just say Bieber in comparison to Westlife and Boyzone?
Bieber is the king.
Dave, do you want to slap him or shall I?
Okay, moving on. My last trivia question. Would you rather be famous for finding Bigfoot and having real footage of him or Loch Ness Monster?
Would I rather what? Be famous for finding
Bigfoot? Bigfoot and have real footage of Bigfoot, or have find real footage of Loch Ness Monster?
Probably Bigfoot. Bigfoot's more popular here. Nobody cares about the Loch Ness Monster in the States.
It's like Westlife and Boyzone all over again.
Yeah.
Bigfoot, Loch Ness.
Aliens, though. The aliens have been the better one. Aliens.
You're going to get probed. You're going to get abducted and probed. I think I'd go for... I don't know. I'm not really asked about either of them.
Pick one.
Loch Ness. I'll go different. I'll pick the Loch Ness Monster.
I'm going to go Bigfoot.
Yeah, Bigfoot's way cooler.
More cool.
Neither of them exist.
Zane said Bigfoot. Dave said Bigfoot and the Hendersons.
It's a movie.
Has anyone got any other trivia questions? I'm run out.
I have one last question. This is not trivia.
Okay,
I was asked the other day if FSG sacked Jurgen Klopp and hired Steven Gerrard, what do you think the reaction would be?
Not now.
What? Right now. They sacked him right now.
There'd be riots.
You think there'd be riots? That's what I said. I said that they'd, you know, FSG be ran out of town.
Be riots and there'll be bloodshed. And I'd personally drive up to Liverpool myself tomorrow, COVID or no COVID, and join the protests.
There would be effigies being burnt outside Anfield. There would be things being thrown. There would be riots in the street, like not even just outside Anfield, like all over Liverpool. There would be. I don't even want to think. Even up in Scotland, there'd be riots up there as well. Like, no. Not, no. No.
I agree.
Yeah, Dave says too early. Zane says not happy.
Steven says Loch Ness because more people believe Bigfoot is real.
That's true, but I think neither of them are real, though, are they? Bigfoot's never been real.
They're both fake.
Yeah, but you thought that Sweeney Todd was a real serial killer the other day, so you
know, I thought...
you're the best killer. Like, you're not very good at this. Look at Andrew's reaction. Honestly,
you thought Sweeney Todd was real?
Yes, because I know. I went to Madame Pasol's once. London Tower, London. I had a Sweeney Todd thing. So I thought it was a real thing.
That's like saying like Edward Scissorhands is a real person. Like, no, but literally the question was, if you could be a serial killer, who would you be? And he was like, oh, the Alphabet Killer. I was like, what, the Zodiac Killer? And then he was like, I picked Jack the Ripper. And then he was like, oh, Sweeney Todd. I was like, Sweeney Todd's fictional, you dickhead.
What was the original trivia question?
If you were a serial killer, who would you be?
That's a question?
Yeah.
You guys are mental, man.
Well, neither you.
If you could be a serial killer, who would you be? That was a freaking question?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? How did this get posted on YouTube? What?
Because neither you nor Steve were there to stop us. Like, we had free reign.
What?
It got a bit morbid. We reined it in afterwards, but it got a bit morbid.
Let's ask you, like, you're basically asking, what kind of murderer do you want to be? What are you talking about?
That's what he says. This is what happens when you let Rahoy run the show.
Yeah, holy crap. Oh my god, that's nuts. That's nuts, man. Don't ever. No questions like that anymore.
We got a lot of responses, though, so our followers or viewers must be, like, just as morbid as us, because we had so many people being like, oh, yeah, Jack the Ripper, definitely. Blah, blah, blah. Like, people were reacting a lot.
It wouldn't happen again. It would happen again. It would happen again. Next time it's me and Seth, we'll be less morbid.
And rainbows.
Wild.
All right, anyone else got to say?
Terms of right. What's Westlife or Boyzone? Chris Welch is wondering. I didn't know what it was either.
The boy band, the singers, they used to be big in like the 90s. I think Boyzone was... I think
they're like Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually Boys.
The British versions. Yeah. I think boy band was Scottish or something. Around that, yeah, they were big in the 90s. And then they kind of died away.
Sophie, you're gonna say something.
I had one trivia question, and it's not a negative one. It's actually a really nice one. If money was no object, what would your dream holiday be?
Like, by holiday, you mean like vacation?
Yes. Sorry, Yank. Vacation.
Yeah.
You gotta say it.
Go ahead. Wait, who's going first?
For me, my dream vacation would be, I'd just like to go live in the Caribbean, to unless I have limited money and just start my own.
That's moving.
Oh, okay. Well, vacation, yeah. I'd go to the Caribbean and just live there.
Where?
No, Hawaii. So Hawaii. I'd go to Hawaii and just.
I'm going there for my honeymoon.
Huh?
I'm going there for my honeymoon.
Oh, yeah. Hawaii's amazing.
Yeah.
Criswell Singapore Grand Prix.
That would be sweet. I agree with Chris. That would be awesome.
Grand Prix.
That's Grand Prix.
It's a Grand Prix. Grand Prix. Oh, you're having a tough day, man.
Oh, you're Grand not Prix. Having a good day, are you, honey?
Aruba's great.
They need to stay at home.
Probably the best vacation I've ever been on was when my fiance and I got engaged. We went to California. We did San Francisco, Napa Valley, and then Yosemite National Park. And that was like the best. It's either that or Zermatt, Switzerland, one of the two.
Oh, see, if I had unlimited money for a holiday, I would do a worldwide cruise. They cost about 30 grand and they take like 3-4 months. And I would love to do that, like a worldwide cruise, because just going off yours, then, like my favorite holiday was mine and Keith's cruise when we got engaged. Awesome. We did a cruise around Italy and Spain, and we got engaged the night of, we'd just come out of Toulon, France, and we were in the middle of the Red Sea, and we went up to the top deck, and it was like a platform, and everyone below us could see, and I was mortified, and that was just amazing. Like the whole cruise, like waking up in a new country every day was fantastic. So imagine a worldwide cruise of that. Like you'd see everything.
Yeah.
Like I'd love that.
That sounds amazing. James
says Turkey or Greece. Chris Ross says he'd like to go to New York. Poland, Sophie.
Yay!
Love that day.
Shut up. Fuck off.
Mexico, Cancun. Yeah, that's always fun.
Cancun. I've never been there.
I've been there. Cancun's pretty fun.
It's where the Americans go for the holidays, right? Isn't it? The college.
It's where like a lot of kids go for spring break when they're at
I've got a question for you, Andrew. Were you a jock or just like a geek or just a normal person?
He was like a football player, like quarterback.
I played football my whole life. I played.
Do you have the jacket as well? Do you have that jacket, that popular jacket?
No, I never got one of those.
Oh my God, he did. He had the jacket and the one-handed backpack.
No.
And he walked through the corridor like this with the swag.
Steven and I were both jocks, but closet geeks.
Did you do that thing when you bully people and haze them? Or was that just a movie thing?
No, I never did that. There were other kids that did that. I never did that.
You didn't put anyone in lockers?
I never what?
No, put anyone in lockers.
No, it wasn't a dick. That's what the American football players would try to do.
What were you in school, Bahomi?
I was a middle one. I was cool with the cool kids and cool with the...
Yeah, that's how I was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have that personality. Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in between, so I wasn't, I was fine. What were you, Sophie? I was hoping you were one of the popular girls.
No.
You weren't?
Nope. I was not a popular girl. I was in the goth group, the goth and emo.
Really? You're goth?
What?
Yep. I had black hair.
Oh, God. You're a photo.
I got rid of all evidence. I was that kid. I was like, you know, the seeing kids, you know, with like the big fuck off huge hair and like the bow in them and like the multicolored like hair extensions, like the chains. Like I was a goth girl, like proper goth.
When did you change?
When I was about 16, I went back blonde. I used to have a fringe that like started here and like swooped right across my face. And my hair was just like, my hair was like to my shoulders, my natural hair, and then my extensions just went down to like my hips.
Wow.
About 16, I went back blonde. And then I just went back to being like girly, but I still listen to the music and everything now. Like, you can take. No. Shut up!
That's a great episode.
The goth away from me. You can take me out the goth, but you can't take the goth, like, music and that out of me. But no, I was a goth and I was like the geek as well, so I like double whammy. Like I was the nerd that always did writing class, like always did my homework, always answered the questions, was also a goth, so I got fucking bullied, I got swilled all the time. Like I come out of school and so I just get a bottle of water and be like woof over your face.
Like, wow, sorry. So you weren't
the goth as well. We used to get jumped outside school.
I thought goths were against the establishment though, so why were you like doing homework and stuff?
Because I was a geek, I was a good kid. I just liked the music and liked to dress that way. But no, we used to get jumps. Like our school gate, you had to, where we hung out, like in between. Homie, you might remember these, like in school, they used to put these like temporary containers up, like temporary like shacks, like for lessons, and they just stay there.
Oh, yeah.
And like we had like in between there is where we'd sit. But to get out of school, you had to walk past us. And like the scallies, like the chavs, as we call them, like blocked us all in one day. And like the lads in the group had to like form a barricade around us to stop us from getting jumped because, you know, school was fucking brutal.
Oh my God.
Crazy.
But then, as soon as I went blonde again, it stopped. So.
Crazy. I never would have thought years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Did your school really get told off for hazing, national news, as Steve says here?
Yeah, so there was like before the coaches arrived for American football practice, I was out practicing, but before the American football coaches came out, they did like this hazing thing where they would, you know, kind of beat up some of the underclassmen, and one kid picked up one of the younger classmen and he was a little challenged. I don't really know why he was on the team, but he like threw him into the ground and he ruptured his spleen. And it was like national news.
Wow.
The kid almost like died or something.
Did you get told who did it?
Yeah, no, they knew who did it and everything. The kid admitted to it, but yeah, I don't know.
Wow, hey, I just like to point out that you're saying that I got sinister bringing up serial killers. And you're bringing up like hazing and like rupturing and killing kids. So who's the worst out of us two here?
I didn't bring that up. I don't know what you're talking about. That was my brother.
Dave says I was Michael Jackson when I thought I was.
Who's Steve's comment to that? It all makes sense now. Because if that's about me, I'm going to come down to Miami. I'm going to kick your head in.
About you.
Definitely about me.
Hey, Doug, good to see you, mate. Anyone else got anything funny to say?
No, but I just find it funny how we've got a jock, a popular, and a goth. It's like a bad joke, isn't it? A goth, a jock, and a popular kid walk into a bar. Like, that's, I'm just waiting for something.
The goth gets jumped and the other two watch.
I like Doug's. I just stepped into conflict. I thought I was a serial killer.
Oh.
No.
Dad joke of the day.
That's bad.
All right, I gotta jump off, guys.
All right, so you'll just wrap up now because we should all just go in hell. Yeah, so
we should all just go to bed.
You know, so obviously, yeah, thanks everyone for tonight. Like, you've been amazing in the chat. You know, thank you for joining us and celebrating Cloth Appreciation Night with us. It's been a fun night. We'll be back again Friday for Friday's Final Word. And then we'll have our Man United preview on Saturday. So check that out.
What the hell does that mean, man?
And then on Sunday, we'll have our match reaction in terms of lineups. We'll have our watch along, and then we'll have a post-match reaction. So we've got some more content coming up for the rest of the week for you. And make sure you haven't smashed that like button, and also subscribe, and also help us get to 500 subscribers. We are on the road to 500. So tell your friends, tell, you know, anyone with a Liverpool fans, with a not Liverpool fans, everyone's welcome. You know, tell them to subscribe and come join us and watch us, because we're going to have a lot more amazing content coming up for you that we've planned. Otherwise, you know, it's been a pleasure. Andrew and Sophie, always fun podcasting with you guys.
When's the next show? Tomorrow or Friday?
Friday, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have Stephen back if he's not really work. Okay. Otherwise, up the Reds.
We need the new boss.
And we'll see you. We'll see you guys soon. Okay.